Hey, it's Myron Metcalf. I know you're used to hearing me join the show to explain what's happening in the world of college basketball or hosting every Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, or maybe even reading my words about everything Minneapolis and the Star Tribune. But you are going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm lucky enough to be one of them. Helping this podcast do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio, day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Ryan Hockensmith, you recently wrote a story about an unlikely friendship. So where does this story begin?
Well, this story begins in June of 2005 on the campus of Virginia Commonwealth. There was a top 100 all-star basketball camp for high schoolers, all seniors, a couple juniors, mostly seniors. It was some of the best players in the country that were there. Steph Curry, Kevin Love, and a slew of other guys. It specifically starts in a dorm room. It was a suite with two rooms. In the one room was a young kid named Kevin Durant. You may have heard of him. Durant was a rising senior. At the time, he was at Oak Hill Academy in Virginia. And he had a roommate that week, a kid from Japan who had come to the United States to play high-level high school basketball with the hopes of getting a D1 scholarship. His name was Taishi Ito. Ito was going to be a senior at Montrose Christian.
So actually, after 4 years at Montrose, I couldn't speak any English at all. Only reason I went there was like, I want to get better on the basketball. I watched NBA, I watched N1 mixtape back then. Just dreaming about, you know, going to NBA in the future.
So you've got these two young athletes sharing a room at VCU. Naturally, they connect through basketball. But what was it about their personalities that actually made them click?
It's very hard to like pinpoint what about their personalities made them such a good fit. But they were very much opposites. Kevin Durant was this giant kid, 6'9", lots of hype. Taishi Ito was a 6-foot-tall kid hoping to get a D1 scholarship. And they just fit together so well.
I went to the room, my room, and my roommate was Kenny. That was like, wow, you know? And I walked into my room, Kevin was there. He was like, nice to meet you. And Taishi, Kevin, blah, 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 blah.
Durant insisted on sleeping on the top bunk.
She was top and I was bottom.
What? Wasn't he hanging out over?
Yeah, somehow, you know, I get there. He was already on the top. So he was like, you mind? I was like, no problem.
And if you can imagine a 6'9", 18-year-old kid hanging off the side of this bed, climbing up a tiny little ladder. And Taishi loved it. He thought it was hilarious. And he offered a couple of times, why don't you just let me sleep on the top bunk, Kevin? And Kevin was like, I like it up here.
I would... like, what, 6 foot? And he was like 6'12", 6'13", whatever. she chose to sleep on the top and then, you know, we just talking.
I think one of the things between the two of them was they have a lot of curiosity. And so Taishi asked Kevin all about his life here in the United States and how he got to this point as a basketball player. And then Durant was fascinated about Japan. He wanted to know everything about Japan. He wanted to know the language. He wanted to know the music. He wanted to know the food. They ended up talking all night, every night, way past midnight with a 7 a.m. wake-up call every day for this basketball camp. And they would end up saying the same thing 5 times back and forth to each other, like, oh, we got to go to bed. We're going to regret this in the morning. We got to go to bed. Come on. And then they would talk for 15 more minutes. And this happened every single night. At the time, what they thought was just a nice little friendship for a week at VCU. What it ended up turning into, though, is one of the most important relationships that Kevin Durant ever formed in his life.
If you're a sports fan, you know about Kevin Durant's legendary career. You saw him become the first freshman to win National Player of the Year at the University of Texas. You also saw him win multiple NBA championships and become one of the greatest scorers in NBA history. And you'll probably watch him tonight in Game 3 of the Western Conference semifinals. But today, Ryan Hockensmith tells you the story of a formative year of Kevin Durant's career you probably haven't heard of, and a friendship that endures to this day. I'm Myron Metcalf. It's Friday, May 5th, and this is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Ryan, it feels like we've watched Kevin Durant's every move for the last 15 years or so since he's been an NBA superstar. But before Kevin Durant meets Taishi Ito, what was Durant's high school basketball life like?
Yeah, he had kind of a wild ride. You know, he was always a really high-level prospect, 7th, 8th, 9th grade. He was on the AAU circuit. People knew his name. He was a 6'2" kid as like an 8th, 9th, and even I think even to his 10th grade year. And then he had a giant growth spurt and he shot up to 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". And all of a sudden, there was this guard with a power forward slash center's body. And he kept all of the skill set. So he quickly emerged as not just a really good potential college player, but like, oh my goodness, this guy is going to go to the NBA very, very soon. And so he played his first 2 years at National Christian, which is a really good school in Maryland. And then he transferred to Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, which is one of the ultimate powerhouses in high school basketball. It was back then, they were almost unbeatable. So he really was a promising prospect at that point. And so his parents recognized it. And so they got him hooked up with this trainer named Alan Stein Jr., very famous for working with great players in that area. And so they started doing these morning workouts when he was, I think it was a sophomore in high school. And from day one, Alan thought, oh, this kid has all the basketball skills in the world. We just have to work on his strength. And then I don't know what kind of kid he is, like what kind of character he has. Alan tells the story. It was one of their very first workouts. He took him at the crack of dawn, still dark out, took him to this YMCA in the Washington, D.C. area. And Kevin was a little grumpy, quiet, hoodie up. And they walk into this YMCA and they walk past. There's this older woman. Alan thought she was like 75 years old. She buzzed him in at the front gate of the YMCA and Alan kind of waved to her and nodded. And she said, good morning. And Kevin Durant just kept walking. And the woman turned around and said, I said, good morning. And Alan started to panic a little bit because he was like, oh, I got a grumpy teenager. Still tired. Is he about to yell at this woman? And Kevin Durant spun around, threw his hoodie down, and looked at the woman and said, I'm really sorry. Good morning. It's at that point, Alan says, that was the moment that I realized that Kevin Durant was a tremendous human being in addition to being a great basketball player.
So Alan knows he can trust Kevin Durant's character, and he knows he can trust him in these workouts. I think you also wrote that Kevin Durant, despite going through a grueling workout, said, this is what I need. But he still understands, even at that point, he has more work to do. What did Kevin Durant feel like he had to do next to take that additional step in his career?
Yeah, you're right. Allen did. I mean, he ran him into the ground. He would just be in a heap. And every time, you know, Allen Stein, he talked about, like, when you have a kid like as good as Kevin Durant, he's the customer, right, in this scenario. So the customer is always right. And he just he thought about, like, am I going to have to be delicate, you know, as I look at this kid on the ground, you know, breathing hard. And Kevin said, this is what I want. This is what we hired you for. Push me. And so that's exactly what he was looking for down the home stretch of his high school basketball career, too, because he was at Oak Hill and they were almost unbeatable at the time. But he and his family put their heads together and decided that he wanted to push himself academically. And he also wanted to push himself defensively on the basketball court. And they felt like Montrose Christian was a really good fit. And Montrose Christian was much closer to his home, which he wanted to be closer to his family. Durant grew up in Prince George's County, which is a famed county in the D.C. area, and that was home to him. I think Oak Hill was like 5 hours away, something like that. And so coming back to Montrose, which was only about 40 minutes from his mom's house, it was really coming home for him to the D.C. area. Montrose Christian, I wouldn't call it like a military-style school, but it was military-ish as far as being strict. And that's what he signed up for when he went to Montrose Christian. He knew the school was going to be hard. He knew that the basketball was going to be hard. I mean, the regimen that the basketball program had is wild. You know, it was down to the minute. 3 o'clock till 3:03, we're going to do this. 3:03 to 3:07, we're going to do this. And so it was very disciplined, and that's what Durant wanted. One of the things that stood out to me was the coach there, Stu Vetter. I mean, he implemented all of this stuff. He's a disciplinarian type coach, pushes kids hard. And he recognized right away that the relationship between Taishi and Kevin Durant from VCU was going to be beneficial. These guys were going to be teammates now. And he ended up saying at the end of one of their first skull sessions, trying to figure out what are we going to do with this new kid, Kevin Durant. He ended up telling his coaches, make sure Kevin Durant goes everywhere Taishi Ito goes.
So Ito and KD know each other from VCU. They have that previous relationship. How do you think that helped them as KD moves on to Montrose Christian?
Well, as close as Montrose Christian was to his house, it wasn't that close. It was still a hall. And so one of the things that happened right away was that Durant said, hey, Taishi, do you think I could stay with you at the house you're living in? And Taishi had a setup where he was living with a host, not family, but it was a woman named Louise Osborne, a widowed 75-year-old when Taishi moved in. They ended up calling her Grandma, and she loves the name Grandma. She loved being sort of a caretaker for players on the team. And right away, during that first year, KD said to Taishi, hey, do you think I could stay with you like maybe a night or two? And he said, sure, yeah, let's talk to Grandma, though. And so they went to Grandma, and Grandma was like, hey, the more the merrier, come on in. So he moved in that first night, and he didn't move out. He basically lived in that basement for the school week, every week, for the entire school year there at Montrose Christian. As soon as Durant started staying with Taishi in Grandma's basement, they both rediscovered the problem they had at VCU. They love talking to each other. They love listening to new music. Both of them loved hip hop. So they would listen to 50 Cent, Dr. Dre, older stuff all night. It would get to 11 o'clock, 11:30, midnight. And then usually around midnight, one of them would say, we got to lock it down for the night. Time to go to bed. And then the other one would start talking again. And it would go another 15, another 20 minutes. All of a sudden, it'd be 2 a.m., and they would say the same thing to each other that they said back in that dorm room, which is, we're going to regret this in the morning.
So it sounds like they're becoming brothers as they get to know each other and kind of build that bond. They're also working out together. And I just wonder what that must have been like. What were those sessions like when Taishi Ito and Kevin Durant would get out there and work out?
That was a huge part of what Kevin did that 1 year at Montrose Christian is like, Taishi worked very hard. He was up at the crack of dawn, 5:30, 6 a.m. It was a 10-minute walk to Montrose Christian, and he would go and he would work out by himself. And KD wanted to go with him. Kevin loved the idea of working out really early in the morning, but when the actual alarm would go off, it was a little bumpy getting KD up and moving for the day.
Did he like getting up and doing 5, 6 a.m. workouts?
No, he didn't.
But he did them anyway. He didn't have to.
Back then, he did. He hated it. You know, well, a couple times I was like, come on, wake up. And then, you know, a couple times I like, Kevin, all right, I'm going by myself.
A couple of times Tai Chi ended up saying, hey, I'm leaving without you. See you later. And then he would hear a quick, like a scurrying, you know, Kevin Durant mobilizing coming up. And so Kevin would come upstairs and they would walk to the school together. It was always very early. The school was basically empty. And then they decided, let's play a little one-on-one, you know? And so they started playing and KD just blew this guy's doors off. I mean, he's unstoppable force. He had about 9 inches on Tai Chi, so he clobbered him. Ito was like, we got to even this out somehow. So he came up with two rules. Rule number one was, you can't turn your back on me. You know, you cannot back me down to the basket. We have to play face to face. And so, okay, fine. KD agreed to that. And then Tai Chi said, all right, no more half court one-on-one. We're going to play full court one-on-one basketball. Which is quite the visual, as he described it. These two guys, and then, you know, it's like 6:15 in the morning. No one's around. They're playing full court up and down. Once every couple of weeks, they would end up really mad at each other.
Yeah, he would start talking a little.
Yeah.
Did you laugh about it, or was it actually kind of edgy?
A couple of times, yeah. You know, like a couple times they get healed up, and then we go after the workout, we go home and don't talk to each other, you know. And next morning, wake up, don't talk to each other, go to workout. Then we start like, you know, talking, and they act like nothing happened last night.
But they were still teammates. They still cared about each other. And then every time that alarm clock went off, Tai Chi said it would just reset everything. They would go back to normal the next morning. Looking back, listening to all of the people I interviewed for this story, it was pretty apparent that those workouts were imperative and critical elements of forging the work ethic that we see Kevin Durant has today.
Coming up, Tai Chi Ito and Kevin Durant play their last high school game together against the legendary Oak Hill Academy.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm old, Ryan, so I remember all the buzz around Montrose Christian when KD showed up. Everyone expected him to be a star at Texas. He'd already committed. How ridiculous was that Montrose Christian team once Kevin Durant arrived for his senior season?
God, we are old, aren't we, Ryan? I remember it, too. The thing is, he left the juggernaut number one, obvious number one, at Oak Hill and came to Montrose Christian, which was Montrose Christian had a bunch of college players. So they were in the conversation as like maybe the 20th, 15th best team in the country. The minute Durant landed there, though, they vaulted to number one and they started that season number one. They played really well at times, but they ended up dropping two games, played a really tough schedule. Both teams they lost to were nationally ranked with all Division I kids all over the place. And so they were 12th in the country toward the end of the regular season. And it had become clear that they had a great team. They were really proud of it, but they were not going to win a national title. They were not going to end the year as the number one team.
So their season culminates with a chance to play Durant's old high school, the great Oak Hill Academy, in the last game of the year. Oak Hill is 40-0, and they were ranked number one in the nation. How did that game turn out?
Yeah, this is the part of the story where it's like you feel like a screenwriter from Hollywood came in and kind of like punched this thing up to make it a better story, but I swear it actually happened. Yeah, the final game of the year, Oak Hill, 40-0 in the season. I think they had a 56-game winning streak total. Number one in the nation, even without Kevin Durant. And on top of that, remember, Kevin Durant just left Oak Hill. So it's the final game of their seasons, and they're going to face off in the D.C. area at a neutral site. And the game lived up to the hype.
It is going to be a packed house here tonight. Montrose Christian versus top seed Oak Hill Academy here on Nation's Capital. It could be a showdown to remember.
The entirety of the game, Oak Hill just had them at arm's length. And you could see as you're watching this, like it's a grainy old YouTube video. Durant did his darndest. 6.5 minutes left. Oak Hill's up 64-48. 16-point lead, and Durant picks up his fourth foul.
Down low, nice dish. And it's going to be a foul. Durant on Durant. That should be four. That is, in fact, Durant's fourth foul.
It wasn't quite like the gym was going to clear out, but people were packing up their stuff. Man, that's when the comeback began. Durant at one point scores 6 points in 6 seconds. He hits a three.
Here is Durant with a ball picked up by Smith. Pulls up for three. Good from way downtown. Way downtown.
Steals the ball. Makes an, takes a three. Gets fouled.
Durant again with a three. Gets bucked. He'll go to the line for three shots.
Makes all three free throws, and all of a sudden, they're within striking distance, and right around the two-minute mark, Taishi Ito is open in the corner, drains a three.
Ito for three from the corner. 72-68.
So all of a sudden, the gym is just out of control. People are losing their minds, and against all odds, Montrose finds itself with a minute left, it is tied 72-72. And there's 20 seconds left. This is their chance to complete this unbelievable comeback in the last 5 minutes of this game. And Ito brings the ball up. The play is designed for Durant.
It's tie game. Fans on their feet. Ito, thumbs up. Durant in the high post. Top of the key.
He puts up a really long contested three-pointer, and the ball hits the rim off the backboard.
Pulls up from three. No good.
And Adrian Bowie ends up skying for this rebound and putting it back at the buzzer.
Rebound. Bowie, his shot. Open for him. And number one is backed off. Number one is gone. Montrose Christian with the upset of the year.
Place just goes bonkers. I mean, it is, it looks like this, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. It looks like a college football game where a team pulls a huge upset because the entire stands empty out onto the floor. It's total mayhem. I described it as beautiful mayhem in the story because it just was like, it was the culmination of an incredible comeback in a game, but it was also the finale to, these guys thought they were going to go undefeated, you know, and it didn't quite work out that way, but it felt like they went undefeated for a little bit that night.
I got to admit, I would watch a 30 for 30 about that game in and of itself. Just about that game, man. Wow, what a fascinating finish. And as I read your story, I'm like, oh my goodness, you couldn't script a better ending with these two guys and their friendship at the same time, it's like, oh man, this is their last game. How did Durant and Ito feel about the season coming to an end?
Taishi said it was just like, you know, the celebration after the game was bonkers and fun and just, you couldn't have written it up any better. But he said, like, as they were wrapping it up and going to the locker room, it started to sink in, like, oh, this is over.
I mean, I knew, like, you know, I was sad because, you know, I was with him almost 24/7 for, like, 365 days. But, like, I knew he's going to, you know, do his best in college and he got to NBA after 1 year. But he never talked about it, but I knew it. He would. You know, one and done guy because he was talented.
Ito knew at that point that he was going to end up going to University of Portland, and he knew Kevin was gone. He had committed to University of Texas, where he would become one of the generational talents that we've ever seen in college and into the NBA. And so they knew that as joyous as the period at the end of the sentence was, it was the end of the sentence.
But their relationship continues, which is awesome. How did they stay in touch?
So yeah, Taishi went to Portland and KD went off to Texas, and then he got drafted by the Seattle Supersonics. And eventually I think they started texting back and forth. And, you know, when KD got drafted, one of the first things he did was say, hey, when we play in Portland, I want you there, man. I want you there. I'm going to get you passes. Come see me play. And so sure enough, his first visit to play the Trailblazers, KD hooked him up with some passes, got him to the game. And after the game, Taishi came down, they hugged. It was great. They caught up a little bit. And Kevin just kind of in passing said, hey, I have my shoes. My brand new KD shoes are coming out. The KD ones coming out soon. And I put your name on a pair. And Ito was like, oh, okay, cool. His thought was, oh, I guess he's going to give me a pair. And he wrote his name on there. He autographed them. That's cool. And Ito's roommate ended up getting a hold of a pair of these shoes. And he said, Taishi, he didn't write your name on them. They are inscribed on the design of the shoe. Every person who buys a pair of KD1s has your name on them. And that blew his mind.
The way he said was like, yeah, Taishi, man, you know, the high school days we spent together, you know, you push me to the next level because of you, you know, I'm here. So it was like, maybe I was crying, but, you know, I was high school, like, college, so maybe I didn't want to, you know, cry, but no, it was great. Touched my heart.
He had known the impact. Like, he knew he was an important figure to KD, but when Durant had to come up with these signature things that he wanted inscribed on his signature shoe, that's the level of importance that Taishi Ito had played. And it was all testament to those workouts, to pushing him, to helping him with his schoolwork. And then KD helped Ito with his English. And it was just this beautiful bond that, even though we talked a little earlier about that chapter ending, Taishi in that moment realized with the shoes, like, oh, that this chapter is a part of his life. It's a part of him, and it always will be.
I couldn't imagine swapping stories with Taishi, and he has the ultimate flex of KD putting his name in his shoes, man. Wow. Like, what a moment. Yeah. And what a bond. Do they still have a chance to keep in touch today?
I wouldn't say they talk a lot. They text a lot. Taishi graduated from Portland. He had been a really good four-year player there, really good on defense, scrappy, great team leader. But his basketball career was over playing-wise here in the United States. And he ended up going back. He made his way back to Japan. And they did end up meeting up in the Summer Olympics. We're in Japan. Actually, at a press conference, Kevin Durant was asked by a Japanese journalist about how excited he was to get to come to Japan and see his old friend Taishi Ito.
This is my first time in Japan, and I was definitely looking forward to connecting with Taishi. Taishi's my point guard my senior year in high school. We got really tight. We lived together my senior year. So looking forward to, taking in his culture and meeting his people for the first time.
The last time they hung out was when KD went to the Olympics, and he texted Taishi and said, hey, you want to get together? I'm at this hotel in in Tokyo, and it was about 10 minutes away from where Taishi was. So he thought, oh, yeah, let's do it. So they, for this very, very short hangout in the hotel lobby, they were just going to get together for maybe like 10 minutes. But then it stretched. Then it became 20, and then 30, and then 60, 90, almost 2 hours. It just kept going.
So we just, you know, sit on the lobby and talking for like hour, 2 hours, whatever. We try to catch up and stuff. And then every time I met him or talk on the phone, was like always talk about high school days. Remember this? We talked about this in the basement. Remember that? Remember, you know, we always talk about high school days. So always, you know, just make me laugh.
And then finally, Durant stood up and he said, listen, man, I gotta get back up to my room. And so he started to walk towards his room and Ito started walking for the exit. And they were both really tired. But Taishi said to me, you know, this was like maybe the only time we talked way, way, way too long. And then I wasn't going to regret it in the morning.
Ryan Hockensmith, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Myra Metcalf. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Bradford Craig, Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Heather Lombardo, Ryan Nantel, Mike Philbrick, Andre Soto, Andy Tennant, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Deontay Epps, Kendall Majette, and Jackson Ajello. I'll talk to you Monday.